IVM.
Folks, welcome to Paisa Paisa. I'm your host Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter. And on today's episode, we are talking sustainable investing with my guest Shruti Jain, Chief Strategic Officer and Sustainable Influencer at Arihant Capital. We're going to talk about all of that and much more right after this short break. And welcome back. Shruti, welcome to Paisa Paisa. Thank you so much for doing this for our listeners.
Hi, Anupam. I'm glad to be here.
Great. So let's start with a brief introduction to first Arihant Capital. It's among those listed financial services company, which is listed, I think, both on the Bombay Stock Exchange and National Stock Exchange. And it's almost, I believe, 20, 30 years old. And an introduction to yourself. Let's start.
Sure. So as you mentioned, Arihant is a listed financial services company. We've been in the business of helping investors meet their financial goals since over 30 years now. We are into institutional broking, retail broking, insurance broking, mutual fund investments, fixed income investments, basically all spectrum of investment products, so a person can kind of create a well-diversified portfolio. As for me, I have been in the finance industry for over a decade now. I started my journey as a research analyst, and then I moved into mutual fund distribution, progressed towards fintech. Apart from my 9-to-5 finance professional job, I'm also a sustainable influencer. I blog on Style Destino, where I, you know, talk about sustainable living, vegan lifestyle, and also help people make sustainable investments.
Wow, that's a lot of things to do in your day job and after that. So let's talk about sustainable investing as a concept. You know, when did it start globally? When, if at all, it's there in India? Walk our listeners through that.
So sustainable investing has literally, you know, skyrocketed in the last few years globally. And it's just starting to, come in the topics in India as well. But it's not really a very new concept. If we talk about sustainable investing, it came into picture back in the late 50s, early 60s. Wherein it was coined as socially responsible investing, wherein investors kind of, you know, eschewed the idea of investing in companies which were exploiting people or which were into, you know, specific industries like tobacco, alcohol, or weapons. So the idea has been there for a while now. In the last few years, the term has been recoined back in 2015 as ESG, which is more broad than socially responsible investing. And in India, you know, the first ESG fund actually happened back in 2018. SBI launched its first ESG fund. And ever since then, the conversations have been there. But I think there's a long way to go for India compared to how ESG and sustainable investing is taking shape in the developed markets like US, Germany, or UK.
Very interesting. So you've got sustainable investing, you've got SRI, which is socially responsible investing, and then you've got ESG. I don't know what's the umbrella term, but if you could just help us understand this a little bit deeper, what are the specific aspects? In the previous answer, you said that this is something that avoids things that are harmful to human beings, could be tobacco, alcohol, you know, exploitation of resources. Let's talk about the positive side. You know, where does the money go when you invest in this? And if there's anything that our listeners need to understand in terms of the differences between sustainable, socially responsible, ESG, or are they all the same?
Okay, oops. Those are a lot of questions. I'll try to answer in my best capacity. So let's talk about sustainable investing first. So sustainable investing is like a more broad spectrum wherein it includes everything that you mentioned, right, from your impact investing to socially responsible investing to ESG investing and even ethical investing for that matter. So the concept of sustainable investing is there's more to investments, just more than profits. So obviously profit is a natural thing, and without making profits, nobody would want to make an investment. But one needs to look at more than just profits when they are making an investment, and that includes your environmental, social, or governance aspects. And that's what sustainable investing is about. Now, when we talk about social responsible investing, SRI, which has been one of the first, spectrums of sustainable investing, which came back in 60s. So socially responsible investing is more towards, you know, eliminating industries or companies which are doing certain things which may not align with a person's values or the organization's value, which is investing in. So it's more about exclusion, whereas impact investing is more about, not just making profit, but having a measurable environmental or positive impact towards the society as well. So impact investing investing is more positive. Socially responsible investing is more exclusion. And when you talk about ESG, it's slightly more wider, because when you are doing an ESG investment, so like any other investment, when you make an investment, you kind of evaluate different things, whether the company, you know, how much revenue the company is making, what kind of profitability it has, what is the future of the company. But when you talk about ESG, it adds an extra layer of environmental, social and governance to it as well. So that's how the ESG kicks in picture. And if you actually look at it, you know, it's not just about doing good for the people, but ESG makes sense because if you're investing a company which is violating labor laws or which is kind of polluting the societies it is working in, ultimately in the longer run, the investors are going to bear a brunt of their investments, because those companies will either be levied fines or they will be taken up negatively by the consumers or the society as a whole. So ESG is like something which every investor should look at whenever they are making any kind of investment. It makes more sense.
Wonderful. I want to take some specific examples out here. Shruti, you can just help our listeners with that, with, you know, what would you think are examples of all these types of investing? I mean, let's not, you know, go into the specific terms, but what would you say, you know, are industries or ventures which are good examples of all of this?
So I would say renewable energy companies which have the right labor laws in place within the company and which are implementing all sorts of practices which are good for their employees as well would be a very good example of ESG investing, because renewable energy is the future. We know, you know, the COP27 is actually going on right now, and the countries have to meet their Paris Climate Agreement. So given that as a backdrop, government is actually pushing for renewable energy and even things like electric vehicles, right? There's a push towards EVs. We know it's been there for a few years, and especially now it has reached down to the retail level. We electric scooters, electric rickshaws, electric cars are like really the talk of the town. So EV is the future, renewable energy sector is the future, and they kind of tick all the boxes.
Anything you think in maybe probably microfinance or anything that helps, you know, among the weaker sections of society, you know, to uplift them, maybe something like that, products out there. I don't know if you could help me with
microfinance
that.
Is actually a good example. Microfinance is a good example. And even banking, which is, so a lot of banks are also now pushing towards, you know, green bonds have become really popular these days. And banking has also been asked by the government to evaluate every investment that they are making or every company they are loaning out. If those come in picture, banking becomes a very good example of ESG too. But, you know, in the banking industry, we know that banks are not just right now financing ethical companies. They have to, you know, maintain their books. They have to grow their revenues. They have to take care of their bottom line, top lines. So although technically they should be, but reality, it's not yet.
Nice. So folks, we've done a few episodes on ESG. You can just catch up with that. I remember we had done something with Koel Ghosh of S&P. We've done a lot of other things. Might want to catch up on a few old episodes, but we're going to take a small break out here. When you come back, we're going to make this investment specific and talk about specific products that you can invest in if you believe in ESG, SRI, sustainable investing, and all of that right after this short break. And welcome back. Shruti, you've written a post on the Arihant blog, Arihant Capital blog, where you've said, it's very interesting, you said that Indian companies have to catch up when it comes to the ESG disclosures, something that we've spoken about on other episodes also. Indian companies are lag a little bit behind. And you said that according to CRISIL, only 1 in 5 Indian companies reported their scope 1 and scope 2 greenhouse gas emissions. I think I'm a little bit lost out there. What is scope 1 and scope 2? Can you, you know, walk our listeners through what exactly is this, maybe what this means and where India lags specifically?
So like I said earlier, you know, globally ESG has become really important, and a lot of government regulations have come in picture in those countries wherein companies have to make specific disclosures regarding each of the factors from ES to G, right? When it comes to India, these regulations are just kicking off. Like very recently, SEBI introduced this law wherein top 1,000 market capitalization companies have to have a sustainability report as part of their general disclosures when it comes to annual report. So this is something which is very, very new to the country. And in fact, even though the companies would make ESG disclosures as SEBI mandated, there's also very much, you know, there's no standardization as to ESG ratings or ESG disclosures. So government is now taking steps to make sure that ESG ratings are disclosed properly by the companies. And, you know, your question was, why is India lagging behind? Because of two reasons. So globally, the movement started for two reasons. One, because there was a lot of activism from NGOs, NGOs and environmental groups and labor rights groups for companies to disclose how and where they are making their products. Are they adhering to all the necessary regulations? What are their environmental practices? So a lot of these, you know, activists are also sitting on boards of some of the top companies, forcing these companies to take the right steps towards ESG and also disclose whatever they are doing, good or bad, however it is. So that kind of pressure has kind of, made sure that these companies are now way more transparent than they were probably 2 decades or 15 years back. Also, the second thing is sustainability has become a very important topic among each and every individual today. And when you're trying to reduce your plastic waste, when you're trying to do good to the planet, you also want to make sure that your values are aligned with all your investments as well. Like on one hand, you're trying to live a minimalistic lifestyle to reduce your carbon footprint. But if on the other hand, you're kind of investing and funding in a company which is going on with the emissions and, exploiting people, then kind of that is not aligned. So a lot of people in the West have realized that and they have started demanding companies to kind of make those kind of disclosures. So this pressure has resulted in companies being more transparent abroad, coupled with the government regulations that are present in those countries. In India, I think ESG is more managed, I would say fund manager pushed than a demand which has directly come from the consumers. So the companies are now required to do their ESG disclosures because of the rule that SEBI has put in. And right now it's only valid for the top 1,000 companies by market cap, but I'm sure eventually it will drain down to other companies as well. So proactive companies which have actually always been into ESG, who believed in strong governance like Infosys or Mahindra, for them things are really easy because they've been making some sort of disclosures even in the past, and it's just a natural extension to their disclosures. But a lot of other companies don't know what they're doing and they have to kind of adhere to this. So I think this will follow in practice, but the government really has to push in and make sure that we have the right regulations. And I think that's only how the shift can come in. So the shift has to come from the government, from the activist, and also from you and me as an investor and as a consumer.
Very interesting. I want to spend the rest of this episode now talking exactly about that, the investment angle to ESG, SRI, whatever that we've been talking about. So first, in the previous part of this episode, you spoke about a specific mutual fund. I think it was SBI or something. So can you just give a list of the specific investment products at a retail level that any of us can invest in? I believe that there are quite a few of these, I think mutual funds that are there now, mutual fund schemes that are now there in India. Just walk us through a few of these.
So we have around 9 ESG funds in India at the moment, which are general mutual funds. And there are also ETFs. So you have Mirai ETF, which is listed on both NSE and BSE. So if you already have a trading account and you are investing in stocks or trading in stocks, you can actually just go and look for Mirai ESG ETF and you can click and buy the fund. So that's the easiest way to do it. The second option is you can invest in mutual funds directly if you don't want to go for an ETF, if you don't have a DMAT or a trading account, or you're generally more comfortable with mutual funds. So there are 8 other mutual fund schemes which have ESG funds in particular, which are the best way to invest. If you are a retail investor who likes to take a more hands-on DIY approach to investing, you could actually even look at the ESG ratings given by CRISIL or companies like Sustainalytics and look for companies which are, rated high on ESG. And then you can kind of go and do the basic analysis which any investor needs to do in terms of, going through the financials of the company. So if you are taking a DIY approach, a rating agency would be a good start to kind of first identify the companies which are rated high on ESG score and then kind of do your own research about how good they are as a fundamentally or technically as investments. And the second option is mutual funds. So you have 9 mutual funds, a mix of mutual fund and ETF. You mentioned about retail investor, but if somebody is a HNI who has like a bigger corpus to invest in, you also have a AIF in the country. It is the first and I think the only AIF, which is by Avendus. So it is Avendus ESG fund, but you need a minimum ticket size of 1 crore. So those are the 3 investment options that you have available in India. But obviously there are a lot many ESG funds abroad as well as companies which are, well rated on ESG factors and which are good investment options, which you could kind of invest through a lot of platforms which offer international investment options in the country right now.
Yeah, I was actually just going to come to that. So 2 questions for you here, kind of mixed. One is, where do these companies invest in from a domestic scenario, and what are the international products that are out there? You spoke about the Mirai ETF. I don't know whether that's international or local, and even the other mutual fund schemes that are there. Could you just help us understand where do these mutual funds and that one ETF, which I assume goes into an index fund somewhere, where do these funds or ETFs invest their money in?
So all the funds that I've mentioned right now are basically India-centric funds. So all the money that goes into this funds is basically invested in companies which are listed in India, and they have their own screeners for identifying companies which are high on ESG score and which are good investments. But to be honest, I mean, once you look at the portfolio, I wouldn't say there is a much difference right now in the portfolio of an ESG fund or a typical diversified fund, for the very reason that in India, you don't have too many companies which are working in the green economy or are into sustainability and are listed. You know, the options are very narrowed down. So in the next few years, we already have Inox Green Energy, I think IPO going on right now. So I hope that we will have more such IPOs in the future from companies which are focused in this sector, and the spectrum of investments for the Indian investors would increase when it comes to companies which are into sustainability and green economy.
Yeah, and I think that the Mirae ETF invests in the Nifty 100. So there is a Nifty index also that does this, the Nifty 100 ESG sector index, I believe, and that's where the ETF puts the money in, right?
Right. So they do in Nifty 100, but then they kind of identify companies within the Nifty 100 space which are rated high on ESG. So they might kind of take down a few companies from the Nifty 100 basket which are poorly ranked in the ESG space.
And play around with the balance of their own ETF. Okay.
Absolutely.
Any idea about the price performance of these investment products here for the retail investors?
To be honest, you know, these funds have just been recently launched. You know, the first fund was launched in 2018. We are sitting in 22, and all the other 8 funds were kind of between this period. So if we have to kind of make a comparison, I think it wouldn't be a right thing to comment how they perform vis-a-vis their peers or the benchmark indices, because it's a very short frame. Having said that, it's a mixed basket. There are funds like Quant ESG fund, which has outperformed the Sensex and Nifty considerably. There are a few which are at par, which have underperformed. So it's a mixed basket, but I think we need to wait a little bit more to kind of comment on the performance, because 2 to 3 years is a very short horizon to compare mutual funds based or comment on mutual funds based on their performance. We need to give them at least 5 years.
Where do you see this going? And I want your perspective on both the private investing space, because I know that in the, you know, the private equity and venture capital business, impact investing is a big thing. And where do you see this going in the public space, wherein you think that listed companies in India are actually going to focus on this, and that makes ESG investing a really hot topic even for the retail investors? So again, 2 questions. I know it's a lot, but what's your view on the private space and what's your view on the public space for ESG going forward?
So I think ESG is here to stay. It's not a fad that which has come in and which is going to just kind of ripple down, because like we discussed earlier, you know, ESG becomes a natural choice for any investor to evaluate. These criteria are a natural choice for any investor to evaluate, because if you are investing in companies which are doing all the wrong things, maybe in the short term you may be able to make profit, but in the longer run you would see your investments kind of having a southward journey. So we know renewable energy is the future, fossil fuel it's not the future. So all the ICE companies are now investing in EV technologies because they know where is the future headed to. So if you try to invest in a company which has not made any kind of investments in EV sector and which are stuck up to their historical technologies, outdated technologies, they might be raking in money now because EV is expensive, you don't have too much volume and growth. So in the short run, probably you would see your money going up, but eventually you would see that company will be behind the competition because they don't have the right product mix which the generation or which the users want in the future, right? So this is just one example. It applies for every other aspect and every other industry. So if you are not if you are not caught up with what is going on in the future and what the future is going to hold for you, as an investor or as a company, nobody is going to do good. So ESG kind of makes sense, and I think it's the future. In terms of private space, as you rightly said, we do have quite a few small impact investing and socially responsible investing funds in India even now. But those are only, for investors with a specific ticket size. So it's not really open for everyone at the moment. Their minimums are not probably feasible for retail investors, but there are a few funds, but those are all very high risk products. So you have to also evaluate what is your risk, how much risk are you willing to take? And based on that, you can kind of pick one of those funds if you have the money for it. In terms of public, you have a lot of ESG funds, but I think India has a long, long way to go. It is more of a push right now than a pull. There was no demand from investors in terms of sustainable investing or, investors looking for companies which are highly rated on ESG. But because it's a concept which has been very much popularized abroad, you know, it's coming to India and fund managers. In India, we have that NFO culture. Whenever a new NFO comes in, a lot of investors flock into and invest in those NFOs. So I think that's how the money poured in even into ESG funds. Probably, I would say most of the investors wouldn't even know what that ESG stands for. It was just probably pushed by one of their investment managers and they just kind of invested in it. So in India, we have a long way to go. But given that sustainability in general is kind of, you know, shaping up in India, a lot of people are aware about the need for changing their lifestyles. They are making a shift towards how they consume, how they, you know, what they buy, how they buy, which companies they support. So I think that's naturally going to extend to their investments as well. So the future holds bright, I'm sure. And I'm sure we all will make the right investment choices when it comes to choosing companies and fund those which are doing good, because ultimately, you know, with every money you invest, you're kind of voting for the kind of future you want. So we need to invest responsibly.
Yeah. So just winding down the episode, learn to invest responsibly. In this part of the episode, you spoke about how one way to start is to check out a rating agency's ratings for ESG and then choose your companies accordingly. Can we just go a little bit into detail there so that you can pick a checklist for the listeners? For example, that, you know, someone who's listening in right now to us decides to invest in ESG, you know, where and how should he start? What would be your advice to him? What would be a checklist to help him through?
So I think the first step is to identify, you know, do some sort of soul searching and identify that how much are you committed to ESG? It's like one of the things you aspire and you want to invest in one ESG fund or stock, or you want to like go all in and have a portfolio which construes only of companies which are into ESG space. So that is the first step I think that any investor needs to do. So that soul searching is most important. Then the next step is, as an investor, what is naturally your way of investing? Like, do you take a DIY approach or do you prefer to invest in mutual funds? Or I think a mix of both for any kind of investor would be ideal. So you kind of, if you have the time and energy to invest in companies directly, then I think you should kind of have a mix of individual companies as well as mutual funds. If you are somebody who's not interested in numbers, who can't, you know, go through the balance sheets, who can't follow and track companies and what is going on, then mutual funds would be a very natural choice for you. In terms of mutual funds, you have 9 mutual funds. You can sit down, have a look at the funds which are available to you, compare the performances and look at the portfolio of the companies. Are they biased long-term, in the large cap, mid cap or small cap? And how much, you know, what is your risk profile? According to that, you can pick one of the funds which kind of is suitable for your level of risk. So that would be the first step. When it comes to investing in individual stocks, you can go through CRISIL. There's also Sustainalytics, which I mentioned earlier. Identify companies which are rated high on ESG score. Once you've identified those companies, you can kind of narrow down your search and see which are the industries or sectors which appeal to you. So if you think, you know, automobile is something or banking is something which you should have exposure to, identify the companies which are ranked high on ESG in those sectors. And then look at the balance sheet, see companies which are doing well, which are performing well, you know, who have good profitability track record, which have transparent management, you know, so things like the general checklist that we have of any sort of investment. And then I think that would be the best way to create an ESG portfolio.
Great. Shruti, so does Arihant Capital do any work out here? And do you have anything here that you want to talk about?
Absolutely, Anupam. So basically at Arihant, we've always been, you know, into the space of socially responsible and ethical investing. So we have a lot of customers who specifically, you know, Muslim customers or Jain customers who've been asking us to create a portfolio which aligns with their values. So kind of take off companies which are into animal cruelty or in the business of tobacco or alcohol. So we've been doing that for years. And now we also have an ESG advisory wherein we can help people create portfolio and identify companies which, you know, which align with their values. So whether, you know, you're looking for sustainable investing, particularly socially responsible investing, because you have a certain value set in your, you know, in your lifestyle, which you want to extend to your investments as well. Or you're somebody who's like passionate about the environment and want to make investments only in companies which are doing good for the planet, or want to take like ESG as a whole, we help people make that investment choices and help them create a portfolio for them.
Nice, folks. So the website is Arihant Capital. You can just check out the website. I'm sure that you can walk your way through that. Shruti, one last question. Very important question. What is a sustainable lifestyle like? What are the changes that we should do? All our listeners should do. I'm sure that you do, because, you know, you're someone who is an influencer in this space. You've done a lot of work. I'm sure that you also walk the talk when it comes to sustainability. Just a few things that we do in our daily routine that could help this planet move more towards sustainability as compared to whatever we've been doing that has really corrupted the planet a lot. Your tips out here for our listeners.
Absolutely. So there are three things I think where we can all start. So plastic is one of the biggest offenders when it comes to planet. The second is fashion. And the third is food waste. And if there are small changes which we can make in our lifestyle to tackle all these three aspects, I I think we can contribute our bit to the planet in a very small and easy way. So one is obviously to avoid single-use plastics, carry your own water bottles wherever you go. I think this is something which has been ingrained in our Indian value system, right? Earlier, we would always carry our own water bottle or ask for filtered water in the restaurants. We'd never use those single-use cups. We would use those steel glasses and mugs. So I think we can continue doing that. When we go to restaurants, we can carry our own lunchbox or dabba instead of taking that plastic takeaway box, right? So these are very small, simple things which we can do, carry our own shopping bags, because single-use plastic is one of the biggest polluters. We have the ocean, which is polluted with single-use plastic. It's creeping up in our landfills, poisoning our food chain, poisoning our water streams. So I think we need to really do something there. When it comes to fashion, you know, rewearing, repeating, reusing, mending, recycling, renting, borrowing are the things which we should come back to. You know, this is again something which we did back in the old days, and it's part of the Indian culture as well. If something kind of tore off, we would not just go and buy new clothes. We would go to a tailor, get it mended. If something was tighter or looser, we'd go to a tailor and get it mended, right? We wouldn't shop every season. We'd have like one or two pair of jeans and a couple of t-shirts, which we wouldn't mind rewearing. I think with the advent of social media, somehow it has been ingrained in our brain that repeating your clothes is kind of a faux pas, which it isn't. I consider it very much like investment. When you go and buy a pair of shirt or a pair of trousers or whatever it is, you kind of invest a lot of time. I mean, money is one thing. Obviously, you have to spend money, but you also invest a lot of time and energy in picking that one outfit. We look around stores, try out a few clothes, and then pick that one shirt. So I think you would make the most ROI on your shirt when you wear it as much as you can and until it kind of wears off. And why not? Because you've made that investment, so you should kind of get ROI on that investment. So this is something which we need to bring back. For special occasions, these days we just go and buy a new outfit and it's just worn once or twice, and then kind of either we give it away or it's just kind of, sitting in our closet unused. Instead of that, can we go and rent or borrow from somebody the outfit? So these are small things which we can do. The third was food-based. I think eating seasonal and local and supporting our local farmers and eating organic is the best thing that we can do for the planet and also for our health. Plant-based foods has been known to be great for your health, and it has the lowest carbon emissions. When we eat meat or consume dairy, meat and dairy is one of the biggest offenders of greenhouse emissions, because a lot of carbon footprint is generated when you produce meat, because you have to involve in animal agriculture and all those things have a lot of impact on the planet. So switching to a plant-based diet, eating local, seasonal, and supporting the local farmers, these are like really simple things we can do to help the planet.
Wow, look at that. Managed to get in sustainability and making this planet a better place into investing on Paisa. Thank you so much. Shuri, you said you've got something out of your day job that, you know, style sometimes. So if our listeners want to follow you, is that an Instagram account, or where can they follow you for this kind of, for these kind of tips?
Sure. So I have a blog on Instagram, as well as I have a website which is called Style Destino, StyleDestino. So you can follow me there for some more, some more inspiration on sustainable and vegan lifestyle and investments.
Oh, folks, there you go. How about that? Huh? I mean, never thought that I will do an episode on vegan and sustainability, but that's a wrap on this episode of Paisa Paisa, really special episode. My guest, Shruti Jain, Chief Strategic Officer and Sustainable Influencer at Arihant Capital. Shruti, thank you so much. Really, thank you so much for doing this for our listeners.
Thank you, Anupam. It was great having this conversation, and I hope that the listeners will make one small change after listening to this episode.
And if all you listeners do it together, imagine what a difference that can make to our planet. Folks, on that note, very positive note, that is a wrap on this episode of Paisa Paisa. Thank you for listening in, folks. If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out our other episodes and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you get all our video episodes. You can check out other interesting podcasts on the IBM network. You can listen to us on the IBM podcast app or ibmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on our social media. We are IBM podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to me, I'm your host, Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter. And folks, thank you. Really, thank you so much for listening to Paisa Paisa.
No material on the show should be considered as financial advice. The material on the show is for informational purposes only. Please consult a financial advisor before taking any investment decision.